person who handles all permitting.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just been wonderful to work with, and she's, she said, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of that hat. Yeah, you're going to get
it. You guys ready to go? Okay, let's call to order the September 19th, 2019 special joint meeting of the Design Review Board and the Planning Commission of the City of Mill Creek. Roll call, please.
Hey, Chair Stan Eisner.
Here.
Vice Chair Matthew Nolan.
Here.
Commissioner Daniel Mills. Commissioner Dennis Teschlau.
Here.
Commissioner April Berg.
Here.
Commissioner Nicholas Marin. Commissioner Brian Hyatt.
Here.
Chair Dave Gunter.
Present.
Vice Chair David Hambleton. Member Tina Hastings.
Here.
Member Diane Sims.
Here.
And Member Beverly Chigi.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh.
Tom, take it away.
Okay.
Yeah, just to let you all know, I'm going to be taking photos throughout this. If that's not okay with you, raise your hand, but you don't get to, like, dive out because of looks. Totally enough. All right, just to let you guys know.
Okay. So, it's kind of weird when you got to sit down there and me behind the screen. I can't hardly see you. So, I do what I can, man. You guys turn me a challenge for you. So anyways, I'm Tom Rogers. We're recording the meeting, so I'm just kind of saying I'm a planning manager at the City of Mill Creek. And I'd like to welcome you to our focus workshop, focus group workshop, for the Mill Creek Boulevard corridor. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to talk about the first four slides or so, and then we're going to have Mandy Roberts come up here and do the rest of the presentation, and then there's a visioning exercise afterwards. It's kind of exciting for us. We have about an hour and a half to get through this. I think we can do that. It may not take that the full time. As a sort of a highlight or a recap, the city is conducting a planning study for the Mill Creek Boulevard corridor. Once we complete it, we're going to have a long-term vision for the this area. It's about, like, we're talking like 5 to 20 years or even beyond that. It's important to state that there are a lot of stable agencies in the area right now and viable businesses and long-term leases. So whatever we come up with, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, at least as far as the land use goes. Everything's on the table. It's not staff-driven or trying to come up with a lot of housing or a lot of, you know, 10-story office buildings or anything like that. We're going to try to have this be data-driven. And the important thing is that this meeting here is to get, once you go through these questions, is get some sort of values and things like that so that we give the pack that's going out a little bit later, sort of how this is working, give some information sort of what the vision should be for the area. I mean, it may come out that the land uses and the zoning are just fine, but we just need to keep investing in that. So, right now what we have to do is we have some short-term infrastructure needs that are coming up in the future as far as repaving the street, replacing some of the stormwater facilities, and we want to just, it's just prudent to take a look at what our long-term vision is before we go in and start installing a bunch of stuff, and then 10 years ago we decided, well, really we want a lot wider sidewalks and all the storm drains, or they shouldn't be there, they should be, you know, 5 feet in from the curb, and you have to redo everything. So we're trying to get an idea of what we want to do longer term, and then some of those short-term investments we do will have to line up with that. As far as the context, I think you're familiar with sort of the boundaries, the map on the right-hand side. Basically, it goes from Town Center on the north all the way down to south of 164th to include the commercially developed property south of 164th on either side of the 9th. And then it butts up to North Creek on the west, and the east would be SR 527. So that's the area we're looking at. And what I'd like to do, this slide here, we had a much more complex sort of schedule slide that some of you have seen. But what we do is to sort of show you what we've done, where we are, and where we're going with this planning process for the project. Right now, we have two sort of phases going on. There are four phases of the project. One's called initiate and communicate. The second one is review and assess. The third is envision and analyze. And that's where the visioning kind of comes in. And then the last is when we sort of know what we want to do a plan or design. So right now, we're doing initiate and communicate. That's what we're doing here. And we have also done a lot of data gathering. And these green dots here, these green dots, those are the PAC meetings. There's a group of 15 people that have been appointed by the city council to sort of act as a steering committee in this process. They've met twice already. And we've the notes from those meetings are on the website. We're sort of gathering information and sort of doing some of what we're doing here. The purple dots are for the city council meetings. And those show like we're going to come back to the city council with what we've done to sort of make sure we're still going in the right direction. But today, part of this next 2 weeks or so is this orange big dot, and these are the focus group workshops, and you are one of those. You're here tonight. You're the second one that we've had. We've already met with the Art Beautification Board, and you see the far right-hand column of miscellaneous dates. We're going to be seeing a lot of people. We'll see the Youth Advisory Board, the Park Board, and then we've got three different meetings set up to have for the property owners and the business owners. And we've set different times for those meetings, just to hopefully they can be able to come on their schedules. And, oh, also the HOA representatives. There's a focus group that meets quarterly with various, all the different HOAs, not just the MCCA, but others as well. And so we're going to meet with them. So after this meeting, what we're doing is we take a lot of information that's going to be provided to the PAC. We're gathering information. And once we do that, the PAC's going to get together, and we're going to be looking at this information. Plus, we're also doing a lot of technical work right now. We're looking at what the stormwater opportunities are as far as regional versus on-site, what the costs are. We're looking at the constraints of the property with the North Creek Corridor and opportunities of like what could happen if you knock something down. Can we build the same line? What would we have to do with that? So we've got a number of education sort of things we're going to do. Is sort of set the baseline so that we can set realistic expectations going forward. Following that information, this green dot over here is called the envision and analyze stage. If we're going to have like a shred or something like that, where we sort of prepare certain different sort of scenarios. And once the PAC comes up with those, we're going to take those to the council to sort of get a truth on that, make sure those are appropriate scenarios to analyze and go further. And once that's done, we will do our work on that. Pros and cons will be prepared. We will present those to the city council, which is this other orange dot here. And then we will do another group of the community workshops where we'll be bringing people in, showing those things. And the pros and cons could be things like the return of investment. Sort of, if you invest this, what would that generate back to the city? Revenues and jobs and population potentially. But we also have other pros and cons, more intangible, as like community support, or based on the comments we got, which groups sort of would support that or the others. And again, you know, I'm not sure exactly what that will be yet, but we have certainly a financial perspective analysis with that. And then once the results of that come back, the PAC will look at that and prepare sort of a recommended preferred alternative, which the council will then look at as well. If they buy off on that, certainly up to the city council to make the decisions. Then it's the job of the staff and OTEC to go back and to prepare sort of more of what you think of as a polished kind of a plan. And that would then be put in our comprehensive plan. And also, like I said, the infrastructure is really important, so that would involve, we've got 30% signed plans are part of that, so we know what to do when we go out for the bid and decide to do our infrastructure improvements. Does that make sense? This is the first time I've used this slide. Does that slide seem to make sense as I go through that? It's understandable? Okay. Thanks. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to
Tom. Can you turn that microphone so it's oriented a little more? Mandy's going to stand over there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, that's okay. It just wasn't picking up as good as it could.
It's okay. I have a really loud voice. As Christina knows, because I sit right next to her. Okay, well, I first just wanted to introduce myself a little bit and a couple of our team members that are here. So
I'm Mandy Roberts. I'm our project manager for the sub-area plan for Mill Creek Boulevard. And my background is in planning, and that includes land use and transportation planning. I've been doing that for over 30 years. I don't like to talk about that too much. It makes me feel old. But I would like to introduce a couple of our team members who are part of the planning and urban design team at OTAC. So Christina Hubert is here, and Paul McKinney. So we're here to help you guys through the discussions tonight, and then also document everything that we're hearing as part of the process. And then we also, just to mention, OTAC is an interdisciplinary firm. Our office is in Redmond, Washington. We have an office in Everett. Our headquarters is in Portland. And so we've been in the Pacific Northwest for a long time, and we have some sub-consultants on our team to help us with traffic, transportation. We also have a company called Leland Consulting Group, and they do market analysis. They're based in Portland, but they do market economic development. They've done a lot of work for Snohomish County, so they really understand the demographics here. So we put together a really comprehensive team to address this project, and we're super excited. And I might mention that I live about 5 minutes from here too, which this wins the prize for the closest project I've ever worked on. Kind of fun.
Okay, so with that, I'm going to go through. We do have a lot of public participation activities planned as part of the process. So the workshop series we're doing now, and we'll continue through the scenarios workshop. We're going to set up some walking tours to get input that way. We're going to be, doing open houses. We're going to have some web-based engagement. We're setting up a texting service that people can text ideas to us, which is going to be really interesting. So we're excited to kind of move into a lot of these activities through the planning process and gather information from your community. So that's really important. That's going to drive a lot of what we're thinking. And then for the focus group workshops, which Tom presented in terms of those starting in a couple of weeks, we're going to meet with a lot of different groups during that time, and we'll learn a lot, and we're going to take those groups through a very similar set of questions as we're going to talk about tonight with you. One really important activity or event is our public workshop, which will be October 2nd at 6:30 p.m., and it's going to be in room 201 in the City Hall North. And so that's open to the public. So if you have neighbors or friends or people that you think might be interested in this suburb and have some input, please help us spread the word. We've got some flyers here if you want to take one and post it. So we're going to get the we've already released a press release, and we're going to be publishing notices and all of that, but we always ask people to help us get the word out because we want to have good attendance. Okay, what I'm going to do now is just go through some ideas and opportunities. And the first thing that we're thinking about is the potential for the bus rapid transit, which we already have the Green Line, right? It just opened earlier this year in 527. And so by 2024, this Orange Line is going to be opening, and there's the potential for that Orange Line to even serve this area more directly, depending on how it's routed. So we're going to be looking at that and looking at, you know, how can we connect people with that transit line, because that will have the opportunity to take people all the way to Boeing or to Seattle for work or to University of Washington to go to a Huskies game or to go to the airport via light rail. So it's going to be a really important piece that connects our community to the broader region. And what happens in this sub-area can really help connect people to that. So we want to really think about that as we're moving forward. So we're going to be looking at roadway, pavement needs, as well as pedestrian and bicycle parking. Multimodal is what we call it. You know, we're thinking about all of the modes of transportation. And, of course, access to transit. Lighting is an important consideration in the corridor. Stormwater facilities, which Tom already mentioned. Because this area is where City Hall is and a few other civic uses, there's really a potential to create more of a civic core, civic campus here potentially. So we're kind of excited about that. What does that mean? What could those spaces look like? What's needed from your perspective to help create that? Whether it's enhancements to North Creek Trail or maybe more of a commons area that can be a civic gathering space. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. Some of them are really cost effective. Some of them might be more more of an investment. We will look at Mill Creek Boulevard itself and understand what some different street design options might be, which could include different configurations of on-street parking, which I know, you know, there could be a need for parking during events and things like that. Also thinking about pedestrians, where they cross and what it's like to walk around as a pedestrian is really important. Today, the area feels really like an, you know, kind of like an older strip mall shopping area, and there aren't as many pedestrian corridors that are well defined. So can we look at, you know, where we should better define those, what they should look like, how that feels from a walkability point of view? And that's something that we see in a lot of cities, certainly a lot of cities throughout the West that are going through transformation as they grow, is a lot of people are starting to look at how can we retrofit our suburbs to create a more walkable, you know, enhanced sense of place in the community, a core area. So sort of like these photos show, bringing buildings to the street and creating sidewalks and sidewalk cafes and places for people to hang out, basically, and have fun. Another idea that's really a trend and catching a lot of interest in cities throughout the West. These photos, by the way, are from Denver, Seattle. We've seen this in Kirkland. But it's something that's called a festival street. So it's basically a street that's designed to function as a street when you need it to be for traffic and roadway and parking. But it can be closed off and used for festivals. And the difference is that you might use a little bit higher level of materials. You might have public art, maybe lighting, things that really enhance it so it feels more pedestrian friendly. So something that we can think about.
Can I interrupt this?
Yes, please. Yeah.
So we already close off the street when we have a Mill Creek Festival. So I think that kind of gets to that sort of thing. But also, don't just take the Mill Creek Boulevard. You may have opportunities to have some other kind of area that you can walk through between some parcels or something, maybe in a long term. It's not just, I mean, the corridor goes all the way from the highway to North Creek Trail, so.
So I noticed when I went to the festival this year that, you know, there were tents all over the place, kind of in here and in here. And so maybe somewhere here with willing property owner and interested property owners, maybe there's a way to create kind of a public civic space that could also be a street, could be an event space, but it's the place where everybody goes, right, to do whatever the events are. I know Town Center has a concert space, but maybe this is more of a civic use. You can tell us what you think, you know, what you think we need. We're going to get to that in a minute. Okay, quick few more slides. Here we go. So places where people can gather, public art. When we met with the Art and Beautification Committee, you know, that was something that was mentioned. We talked about public art opportunities. This is just an example of what's called a pop-up park, which I love. I love this project. This is in Denver, Colorado, too, and it was just an area that the neighborhoods wanted to keep using part of it for parking and street use, but part of it, which was really underutilized, we do have some underutilized areas in this subarea. They turned into a dog park and a pedestrian plaza and a place for chess and games and sidewalk cafes and all of that. So, you know, some of these things can be done rather cost effectively and through community action, which is pretty cool. Public art, we talked a lot about that, but, you know, I think it's a way to bring vibrancy and color to this area, interest, and draw people here. So it's a great opportunity. So when it comes to thinking about the area beyond the public realm, beyond street rights of way, those properties are owned by other people, except for the city does own some property, right? But a lot of the properties are owned by private interests. And so whatever happens to those properties will be, you know, based on what those property owners want to do in the future. We can think about ideas, and we're going to be getting their input to help shape what those ideas might be. But it's just really important for us to remember that, you know, the property owners will decide when and if they redevelop their properties. But change can happen in multiple ways. So it can happen really in a minor way with rehab of existing buildings. It can happen where, you know, certain pieces become redeveloped, certain buildings or groups of buildings. Or it could be like full redevelopment of a block or a half a block. So just to show you some examples of that, you guys have actually seen some of that already here in Mill Creek. So when Mill Creek Square updated their facades at Mud Bay and QFC, that was really a rehab or a reuse of a building space. When Round Table and Sherry's redeveloped here, that was kind of more infill development. So those buildings went away and they brought in new buildings that had multiple uses. And then redevelopment is really what happened in Town Center. That was all redeveloped. A lot of it was greenfield, right, before it developed. Yeah, forest, yeah. Mobile home park, that's redevelopment, yeah. So just another, there's a lot of examples locally, which I'm sure you're really well aware of.
Kenmore,
downtown Kenmore's kind of undergoing a transformation where there's a full block being redeveloped by Main Street Partners, and it includes civic spaces, a new restaurant called the Seaplane, super cool, you got to go there, and the hangar, which, you know, because Kenmore's the seaplane place, right, so they've got this theme going there. The hangar, which is kind of a civic building, coffee shop, and then this great plaza with a spray pad and heated rocks for the kids. It's pretty cool. So that's a good example. And then some of the other things that we've been thinking about is what's really needed here? What do we not have in Mill Creek that would be a great addition to the community? And we're looking at this from a market perspective, and we're talking to developers about these ideas, but we also want to hear from the community. You know, what do you guys think is missing that could be a niche or a real need here? So one of the trends that we see a lot happening in a lot of cities is what's called market halls. And so a market hall, or sometimes called a food hall, is a place where a lot of different food vendors, restaurants, winery, coffee, breweries, they come together, maybe in a single building, and then they have common spaces where people can sit. So you can go get a glass of wine, then go get a sandwich and meet your friends. And if they want to eat Italian and you want to have, you know, Thai food, you can meet together and still eat together. And it's really, I don't know if anybody's been to Wenatchee, like Pybus Market in Wenatchee is kind of like that on a little bit more of a rural scale. But it's really something that's picking up steam, that idea of having kind of that experience with your neighbors and your family and going to a place where you guys can choose from a lot of different foods and beverages and things like that. Another thing that is really popular right now is co-working and work-sharing space, like you've probably heard of WeWork. And that's because, well, for a lot of different reasons, people are kind of changing the way they work in the marketplace. You know, a lot of people are working more remotely, or maybe they'll go into the office for 3 days a week and they want to work somewhere else close to home for 2 days a week. So there's these work sharing places where, you know, you can have flexible space, work with other people. And I kind of think that we're ripe for something like that here, just because we're pretty far away from at least the Seattle employment areas. And there's a lot of people retiring or people older in their careers, a lot of entrepreneurs and private sector. So I think that could be a real possibility.
And the traffic's so bad.
Who wants to drive to work? I know. Okay, last few slides. North Creek. Wow. You know, it took me a while to realize, wow, North Creek's back there, you know, because it's kind of hidden, isn't it? And it could be so much more. And so one of the things we're thinking about is, what does that mean? Do we want to have more places where people can overlook and gather around the creek or learn about environmental values of the creek? Maybe some, especially like the city's pond that the city owns this pond here, and it's kind of overgrown on this side, like with vegetation. But maybe part of that could be enhanced naturally, but also part of it could be kind of a built edge that, you know, could be a place where people hang out, sort of like these photos show. More of an amenity, you know, instead of it just being kind of a pond there, how do we make it more interesting and enjoyable? And landscaping to go with that, places for people to walk their dogs. Maybe there's a building that's part of that, that's part of enhancing kind of the civic campus, environmental or educational building. So that's what these photos are showing. So in summary, before we do our exercises, just to kind of summarize some key points, this is a long-term plan. You know, some things could happen within 5 years. A lot of it may not happen for 20 years, and it really, again, it's going to depend on the private property owners, what they want to do. But within that, there are these short-term needs to improve Mill Creek Boulevard, connect to transit, improve pavement, improve stormwater. So we're going to be looking at those as a short-term action. We've got a great process ahead with a lot of focus group participation, and I think that's going to help us really shape what the actions could be, what the priorities could be for this area. When it comes on the public side, when it comes to the private side, you know, it's really a combination of, like I said, reuse or rehab or infill, or maybe some areas
completely
redeveloped could happen. And then the opportunities of some of these key places like the North Creek Trail and the pond and bus rapid transit. There could be some stations, for example, that are created as part of the bus rapid transit line, and there's improvements that come with that. So with that, I think what we'd like to do is we have over an hour, and I don't think we need that much time, so we might be able to get you guys out of here a little earlier. But what we're going to do is go through a series of questions. And Christina and Paul and Sherry, maybe Tom, are going to help us kind of gather your notes on these. We're going to do one at a time because it's just easier to do that. And we've been really careful to organize your post-it notes to the correct color scheme. So, you know. Each question has a different color scheme, just to kind of help us keep the notes straight, really. And we're going to go through, gather your input on each question. We'll post it up. We'll summarize it, then we'll go on to the next question. Okay? So the first one is one that we're asking every group. And it's really to give us a sense of what people, you know, what Mill Creek means to you in terms of the character. So the question is, what word or phrase best describes the Mill Creek character as a whole, the character of Mill Creek? And so you can write a single word, you can write a short phrase, and we want you to use the green post-it notes, which are the ones right on top, and it's kind of green, it's kind of lime green, but you know.
I was going through the pile looking for green, and then I realized it was right on top.
This color.
Yes, this color. And, you know, if you want to write more than one word or phrase, that's fine too. But we'll give you guys a couple minutes to respond to that.
When you're ready, just throw it in the air, and we'll come grab it and put it on the board.
That's important. Still waiting for a couple more. Finish up. Okay. Give you a couple more. Yeah. So, Paul, do you want to help us summarize? So, what's up on the board?
quality, stability, home, amount of green space.
That's good. Yeah. Great. Excellent. Okay, thank you. So you'll be surprised at how fast this goes, really, but you get a lot of input in a really quick amount of time. So the next question is thinking about, you know, this area today. You go to the post office, you go to the bank, you go, like, my dentist is here, so go to the dentist. What are some of the issues or problems that you encounter in this area that you really think need to be solved? So you could list up to 3 issues or problems that you think need to be solved through improvements or through the plan, through strategies. We'll give you more time to think about this one because it takes more time. And oh, which color are we on, guys?
Yellow.
We're on yellow. Yes.
Steelers gold.
Oh, it is Steelers gold.
That's problem.
Oh, right dear. There.
We're using Steelers.
Manny, never again.
Tom is a Steelers fan.
I forgot.
It's going to be a rough season.
For one. Restate your basic.
Okay, so the question is, what are the issues or the problems that you are observing in this area today? And maybe you're not observing any, which is fine. But, you know, if you're going to the bank or you go to Safeway, you know, or you drive in this area, you know, maybe you're experiencing a lot of traffic congestion. That could be a problem. Or, you know, you tell us. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but, yeah. Maybe you can't find any place to park. You can list up to 3, but if you've got a list of 10, go for it.
List as many as you want.
Yeah.
She used to come up with a pretty good list.
I can't believe I'm saying this.
How are we doing?
Oh, you guys have the edge, she said. Want another gold paper?
Yeah, how many? Do you need more gold? Steelers gold paper. We have a lot more.
You're not supposed to be writing a thesis. You're supposed to be
a thesis. Yeah.
You asked an Irishman his opinion, I'm going to give it to you. And I need another pen.
Well, folks are kind of wrapping up their thoughts. Christina, you want to read some of those up there?
Yeah, I'm seeing traffic as a really common theme. Cut through traffic, just traffic in general, flow of traffic. Got lack of community space. A poor gateway to Mill Creek and parking.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something on one of those? I'm the one that wrote poor gateway. And I've noticed if you're coming in off the freeway, you know, and you GPS, like, you know, downtown, it doesn't take you out to Bothell Everett Highway. It takes you in the town down that road. And that has become the gateway to town center because that's how everybody's, you know, GPS takes them into town coming in from the freeway.
Right. And they're like, am I there yet?
Yeah, you go through there and you see the back of a store, you see all this. It takes you a while before you get to town center. So that's kind of what I meant by that, you know?
There's no, it lacks connectivity. There's not the connection between the two areas.
But it should kind of be the grand entrance to it all. You know, it should feel like you're going into something, and right now you're not, you know?
It'd be interesting how to design something like that. I'm not sure how you would do that, but
OTEC salivating over that.
Yeah, well, that's going to be our next workshop. But we do have some thoughts, so, yeah. Okay, great. Did we get all the yellows then? Okay, thank you. So we're going to move on to purple, which is kind of actually grayish purple. It's a really weak purple, and I'm sorry, Huskies. Okay. It's really bad, but so we wanted to ask, what is working now? What should stay the same?
And we're talking about just that one area.
This is our study area. Yeah, so, you know, maybe maybe you really like the way City Hall is kind of organized. That's working really well for you. I'm just kind of making things up.
It's not just, even though it's Mill Creek Boulevard corridor, it includes the uses. Post office, Safeway, the entire area. So,
I really like Mud Bay. I don't want it to go away. My dogs really like it too. Yeah. So purple on what's working now? What should stay the same? You can list up to three things on the purple post-its.
Are you talking about things? Well, this just comes to my mind now, and I'm thinking about how I use that area. So let's say the post office. It seems like there's too much going on at that post office for the traffic mess that it creates. So could you have more of a drop-off pickup spot and have some of the other parts of the post office somewhere else, that so you didn't have to fight through that traffic related to that? I don't know.
Yeah. So you like having the post office there. But you're just wondering if it could be redesigned, reorganized.
Well, I don't know. Truthfully, I don't know what all goes there. I try to stay away from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's just
too busy.
It doesn't feel like it's the things that go on in that space should always be going on there. They might be better off somewhere else, and then just have more of a smaller footprint of a building and. I'm not sure, but I'm just thinking about how I use that.
Well, and it's the ugliest building in the city.
It is terrible.
It is the horror. It's the worst.
Well, it makes me realize, you know, guys, I was just thinking we should talk to the Postal Service, whoever we talk to. The postmaster, I guess, to sort of understand.
Federally owned building. It's a whole list of different
ones. I don't want to take it too much off track, but they are difficult to deal with. They don't mow their yards, and if you call up a postmaster, they'll get a nasty note from their attorney telling you that it's a we supersede or what do you call it, the supremacy clause?
Yeah,
so usually we can sweet talk them and then they'll come mow the grass or something, but
we can't get them to put a sprinkler and fire alarm in the building, so it's not required.
Interesting. Okay,
so your mail's not open.
Okay, how are we doing on the purples?
Not very good.
People are struggling. There's not a lot that's working superbly.
It's okay. We don't have a lot. That's okay.
I think they all feel like very separate things.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. They don't feel very connected.
Disconnected. Separate. What are you reading up there, Christina?
I'm seeing a lot of trails. North Creek Trail is a great amenity.
What's working?
The local businesses and variety of shops. The street fair.
Yeah.
The sidewalks. People like the connectivity.
It'd be really interesting to hear if the businesses like the festival.
Okay, well, we'll be asking about that, won't we? Yeah. We'll be asking very similar questions. So, I noticed when I went to the festival, there were a lot of businesses that had booths, you know, which is kind of different than festivals that I've been to, you know.
I know a lot of local businessmen, they seem to like that.
They like that. They have the opportunity to meet their neighbors, All right, are we ready to move on to question four? This is kind of a complicated one, but perfect for you guys because this is related to your role. So everybody knows how fast our region's growing, right? It's one of the fastest growing regions in the country. And we plan for growth in Washington. And by 2050, Snohomish County will have, based on growth projections, an additional 424,000 people. What's our population in Mill Creek, remind me?
Just over 20.
Yeah, so 20 times the population of Mill Creek is going to be, it's an additional 424,000 people in Snohomish County and 225,000 jobs. So As we think about that future growth, how much should be considered as part of our planning process? You want to say, you wrote this question, Tom. You frame it better.
This is a really important question. We don't know how much Mill Creek's going to have to absorb. We just know that the guys of Cape County, we do have some mass transit or some bus rapid transit coming through town, so there's some transit here. The light rail's going up the I-5 corridor. But this growth is going is projected by the state to come to that county. Puget Sound Regional Council has put together a plan that's under review. It hasn't been adopted yet, but it talks about focusing that growth mainly along the light rail corridors, the I-5 corridor, and along some of the bus rapid transit sites. So that being said, it's going to be another like 2-year process before the various jurisdictions start talking about like how we're going to absorb this growth, who can take it, who can't, who wants it, who doesn't. But we're doing a land use plan here. And so knowing that the growth is happening, that's a 30-year projection, is that something we should consider while we're doing this plan? That's the question.
Well, the answer is probably yes.
But the answer is whatever you would take it.
Right.
Is there a responsibility to think about that and accommodate that growth, or is it an idea to keep things the same and try to push it somewhere else? That's kind of the question to be worried about.
Sounds good. So we're on turquoise now.
So actually, it's a tough question. It's almost like a yes or no question, but it's a tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thoughtful question.
Well, in some communities that I've worked in, you know, they understand that everything's growing. They don't want their neighborhoods to be impacted. So they're thinking about, like, okay, well, where is the appropriate place to have growth in my community, you know? So maybe that's part of it, too.
And like, we've experienced, you know, we're all planning. I mean, that's what we try to do. We try to make sure that we know it's coming and sort of make sure and make accommodations for that growth.
Yeah.
And you've seen what's happened around 180th and 35th. And some stuff that the county kind of planned for, but it's, did they really? I mean, there's a lot of traffic coming through, a lot of impacts trying to go up and down 35th, you know what that does. And so, anyway.
Don't you think that whole corridor would be better served if there was more small, I don't know what the word small really means, but pockets of retail and commercial so that people could get services and wouldn't have to go to hop in their car and go somewhere? So.
Yep,
to me, that's that village concept.
Yeah, it's capturing trips. You don't have to drive all the way downtown Mill Creek.
Yes.
We like them coming and spending their money here. But you're right. That's like planning 101. You want to capture those trips.
Yes.
So people are ourselves. It's even greater if you can live right next door and walk.
Well, and if you think about it, and you travel in Europe at all, these little villages all have services. You know, they have their little bakeries and their little grocery stores and gas stations and pharmacies and... You know, and they're not large. They're not large by American standards at all, but there's many of them.
It's interesting in this Amazon era we live in, though. I mean, you see our city, what's happening with malls, both locally and across the U.S., and then, you know, what businesses are thriving. Businesses like yours, where hopefully thriving with, you know, we've become a magnet for restaurants and good places to eat and gather. But it's hard for shops, unless they have an internet presence, to be there. You know, even the food stores, more and more people are going over to the pick it up or have it delivered by Amazon, QFC, Fred Meyer.
Over that
next 20 years will be fascinating to see how that market goes. Does it return back to, you know, the 40s and 50s when the grocer delivered stuff to your doors? Is that what you call it? Is it a quaint approach to that? Or is it something that's different and people are afraid of, where you don't drive or you have the housing? So.
Well, that's the technology part, too, is what's going to happen with the autonomous vehicles. Are they all going to be doing circles and laps while they're waiting for an Uber?
Well, and so that's how you have a plan for something you don't have no idea about.
And that's the flexibility is, you know, as we look at our little city, what's our niche compared to Bothell or Everett or Seattle? I mean, you know, we're still a commuter city. If you look at our residents, there's still employment is not, we don't match employment. The classic urban plan development where employment matches housing doesn't exist in our state. You know, the employment in this area is still, well, the centroid's well.
Well, and that could be something that you might want to comment on. Should we try to balance jobs and housing here more or not? Or
it's really difficult
hard to say.
To do.
Yeah.
But I think we need to plan for what we want, right? So as
exactly.
we see growth, and we like when I look at that market concept, those are the families. When I see families moving into my neighborhood, they want that market, right? They want that real Portlandia feel, that community, that we're too much on our devices.
That's right.
They take their kids off, and they want to walk down, grab a beer, hang out, and eat something really cool and local. And so if that's the type of families we want, then that's what we have to build to attract them.
And to our
community,
Tom's credit and the staff's credit, they've done an amazing job of us being this active family community with the fact that MCCA has all the trails, the sports park with the soccer going in. You know, the city's done a really nice job of creating this niche of families want to be here because of exactly what you're talking about, while still having flexibility to be into the future. So.
To have enough open space when they get here and accessibility in and out seem to be key. Because the open space draws people, but not if you can't get in and out easily. And it seems as having, so I work for the fire department, so I'm a battalion chief on this side. I drive basically Mill Creek to Maltby all day long, five stations over here I oversee. And all of the development has been done without a single consideration for roads throughout most of this part of the county, right? It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing to watch, you know, development after development be built, and the access in and out is horrible. 35th, if you just, right. It's like going to the boat launch and watching boats launch. Just see 35th and 180th. Just watch for 10 minutes. It's fun. But it's amazingly bad. Yeah, it's horrible. And it would be really great, knowing that Mill Creek is a destination for so many small communities around, including our own city, to have open space for people to enjoy when they get here, but then the accessibility in and out. I mean, if we could just solve that issue alone, the developers will show up. The folks will show up.
Don't we kind of need the county's help for that?
Not outside the city limits, yeah, absolutely. But there's quite a bit of influence with the county. Mm-hmm.
I really think that's
so. Just to kind of take that one step further, are you saying, you know, the ability to come and maybe park and walk around and enjoy that open space, and maybe some places are through, but you know, yeah.
There's lots of comments from friends and family who come to the sports field or they come to the concert series, and the first thing you drive into is a crowded parking lot, so that's tough.
Yeah.
Once you get out, you have an ability to walk around a little bit, but not a large space to enjoy. The concert series is nice that they have. The sports field is nice, but they're singular spaces.
Yeah.
They're not conjoined with anything that makes it feel more open. This is a neat opportunity to change that a little bit.
Create kind of a commons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To your question of parking, I think, you know, Tom brought up the self-driving cars and everything else, but we're not there yet, and I think I'm looking to you to tell us about elegant solutions where we can support our car-centric environment today but have something that transitions as vehicles become less part of our daily commuting or access. You know, how do we have that space? Because right now the biggest complaint I hear from my friends and neighbors about going into the business part of the town center is I can't get there when I want to go to dinner because there's no parking available.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and so planning is looking at this 20-year horizon going, well, don't give them parking spaces and they'll all walk. Well, I'd like to see what's that elegant solution to be able to get there.
You're getting that down right, Mom.
We're all about that elegant solution.
Now, we are recording this, so some things that don't end up on the boards.
Paul's taking notes, too. Yeah.
What's interesting, too, is we've increased the ability to move people up and down Bothell River Highway through this planned corridor. We haven't increased the ability for people to get across Bothell River Highway.
Thank you.
It is
critical.
That is the entire transit. It's easy to get north and south all the way through the north end. Getting east-west is the problem, where you live in Mill Creek or not.
Yep. But that's a Seattle problem. Yeah. I mean, a lake on one side, ocean on the other, and you got a narrow strip.
But even up here, transit goes north-south. It doesn't, you know. Yeah, this orange line will change.
So are you talking about any mode? Vehicles,
absolutely.
People walking, biking, anything, it's difficult.
It is very difficult.
Okay.
East-west is difficult.
Yeah.
You know, being a cyclist, we go up and down. There's nice bike lanes. It's nice, but again, east and west is hard. There's lots and lots of families who attempt to walk down to town center and enjoy it, and yet there's hesitation to send your kids on their own because Bothell Everett is it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's a gamble.
So I think to wrap up this part of the question would be that traffic's a big concern, and we'll figure a way. And the east-west connections are difficult, as well as, I think, north-south is also difficult depending on the time of the day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, connectivity, traffic.
That's the key.
Yeah. And I think part of the traffic is definitely parking. And part of this is you're talking about civic spaces and event spaces and stuff. When we have the city festival, there's nowhere near enough parking anywhere around for all the people that go to the festival. You're parking at the high school. And I go to the music festival every Wednesday during the summer, and that little music festival is so crowded now, sometimes I get there an hour before the music starts, and I park darn down here near City Hall to walk all the way back up there because it's already full.
And those kinds of events would triple in population, triple in attendance if it just had a little bit more parking.
So are there not more places within the city limits, though, to put some of these festivals, get them out of the town center?
Well, the businesses don't want them out of town center because all those restaurants do booming business
around. This quarter might have a couple of spots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Ledge.
But the problem is, I think, that the real estate is so costly there that you're creating businesses that only attract a certain economic category of people. I think if you had things in other parts of the city and out of the town center, because everybody's right, you can't park, you can't drive. If I want to go to the bank, it takes me almost 45 minutes.
But honestly, if you tried to put that elsewhere, I think somebody that owns that property would just continue to have a music festival there. Because all those restaurants and stuff do booming business in the summer, and they're not going to want to give that up. So.
That's a private event anyway.
Yeah.
And
this quarter,
is it a private event?
The Forum? Yeah, those are all private.
So we have a music festival in Everett at the Marina, right in front of my restaurant there. And yes, it does bring huge crowds, but it's not. It's the city is managing the festival, and the port is supporting it, and the businesses are supporting it, and they provide parking. You gotta provide parking or you have a nightmare.
Yeah, that's done by the Business Association, Town Center Business Association. Yeah. I think the city's a sponsor. We contribute a little bit to it.
Okay. But all the businesses sponsor it, too. A lot of local businesses.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't have it. I'm just saying that you could do other things in other places around the community. More. And I think, you know, you're talking about driving down 35th. There's no opportunity for any kind of retail or activities on 35th. It's just
residential.
Yeah. So, we're a little off track as far as this. Sorry, I was just letting people. We have lots of time. I was going to mention a couple things. One, we will be looking at, is there an opportunity to add on-street parking in the Mill Creek Boulevard corridor or with other streets that we might develop, which could increase parking capacity? And then the other thing, though, that I think is really important to remember, and it's so hard to think about this because it's not exactly that way today, but with the Orange Line, people would have the ability to go to McCollum Park and Ride and get over here in 5 minutes, you know, for an event or an activity. And that's going to kind of change the way I think people move through this area. We don't even know what that's going to be like yet because it's not there yet, but I think it's going to really... be an asset.
In fact, the Greenland will do that every day.
Yeah, the Greenland. Yeah, you're right. It will.
But it would be counterintuitive to a lot of people who literally live right over there, but can't park here, to go all the way over there
to McCollum,
and then take a bus back.
So we might need another park and ride somewhere else.
It's the east west.
So what about cities with MCCA? If we could just get folks from there. You know, like I live a mile from there, right? So if there was a way for me to take something like when I'm at Husky Stadium, I can take a little rickshaw, pay my $5, and I'm from Boom Boom. If there's some way to get from point A to point B from MCCA, that would take a lot of it out because a lot of us just drive because that mile back is too much to drive at night.
Paratransit.
Some type of alternative transit just for that little section, and then you get all those cars off the road.
Yeah, because the other thing I like to mention, and then we can go on to the next question, is I think parking is really important, and having access to your car is really important when you go to Mud Bay and you buy dog treats and you need to take them home, like I do. But on the other hand, you don't want to design the heart of your city around cars and places to park. I mean, you don't want that to be the overwhelming thing that's happening there.
We have this natural loop. We can drive around the golf course that is underutilized with mass transit, and I don't think there's a line that goes from downtown back around to downtown. I think it cuts up Trillium and goes up the wrong way.
Yep.
If it were, again, it's a partnership with mass transit or somebody's coming up with a shuttle idea in their brain for business, I know, but you've got an opportunity there, at least on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturdays, whatever it could be, to change that route to make it accessible to the city.
You know, I've never thought of that before. That's actually brilliant. Just like a bus that would do that.
Yes.
My son needs to read someone's
letter. No, the other thing to think about, too, is we're all getting older, and people that live in MCCA are getting older. We're not all going to be driving around, either, as we get older. So thinking about access to transit is really good for that. For us, including me. Okay, so let's move on to question number 5. We're more than halfway done, which is great. Question 5's a little bit less complicated, more fun. So when we're doing planning, we're always thinking about elements that are part of planning, and can be business or economic development or transportation or housing or parks and green space. So we've listed some elements here. And what we would like to know from you is what you think the most important topics or elements are for this area as we think about it, as we plan for it. And we'd like you to pick 3 of your most highest priority elements. And you can list those that are listed here, but if you see one that's not listed that you think is really important, maybe a community center is important to you or something.
We've gone to this color.
Yes, this is a blue color.
Blue-ish. What was this color then?
Turquoise.
Oh, I put the wrong thing on
it. It's all right. Color. Don't worry
about it.
All
right, okay.
We got it on the right board. We're good. Yeah. So, yep, blue. Pick the top 3 of these items, and you can also choose your own if you want to. We'll pick those up.
Can I ask, when you put enhancing North Creek, does that mean environmentally or access to it? There's a lot of ways to interpret.
You can tell us what you think needs to happen. If you think access or environmental enhancement, either way.
When we put it down there, we're thinking more of human, urban.
Human access.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, you specify.
Access to it. It's kind of a hidden asset, I think, but yeah.
And we only can have 3.
Well, yes, because we're trying to really figure out what's the, these are all important things.
I knew you were going to say that, but I just had to ask it.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because I had trouble in college, got caught cheating. It was a class in metaphysics, and I was looking into another boy's mind.
Yeah. No comment. Yeah.
Okay. Christina, what are we gathering up there?
I'm sure it will come as no surprise that thriving businesses appears frequently.
Yes.
We've got enhancing North Creek on here quite a few times. Civic Core and Civic Campus on here quite a few times. And better transit.
Okay. Excellent. So waiting for a couple, it looks like. Dennis has given it some really concentrated thought.
Are there any options for putting a pedestrian overpass over Bacalovet Highway, since it's WashDOT?
If we hear the community might be interested in that, that's something that we can make note of in the plan. I think we're going to be talking to WashDOT. The one thing about those that I know, just from 30 years of experience, is they're very expensive. And if you don't design them right, people don't use them because they want to get across the street as fast as they can.
Well, they have to have elevators to be ADA accessible.
That's right. And that's why they are so expensive.
I grew up in a town exactly the same size as this one. And we built a bridge like that over a busy road that led into the downtown. No one ever used it.
Yeah.
And the last time I went home, which was about 10 years ago, I went back to visit my hometown, and that old bridge is just a rusting piece of metal.
Well, I suppose you all know about the Everett Bridge that's being built on West Marine View Drive.
The road to nowhere.
Oh, is it a pedestrian bridge? Or?
It is, but yeah. it's dual purpose. The whole purpose of it is to bring stormwater and sewer water from up on the hill across the railroad tracks and down into the lines there. And it's right in my parking lot, and they have the whole street blocked right now. You can't even get there. But, you know, I've watched them spend, I can't tell you the amount of millions of dollars. And this huge, gorgeous piece of artwork and an elevator in it, and they're thinking that people are just going to ride their bikes over and hop in this elevator and come down and join the waterfront. Now, the destination is pretty nice when you get.
Yeah.
And that may increase, but.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So do we have everything for question five that we need? It looks like we do. Right, we're going to go on to the pink. A new color.
Woo-hoo. Are you passing on blue?
We are.
We're all done with blue now.
Never mind.
That was turquoise. I did the same thing. So.
All right. So for the pink question, we want to talk about our process and what a successful planning process means to you. So what are some of the important factors, criteria, values to consider as we prepare this plan, and about our process, you know, what's important for us to think about to have a successful process. So, Tom, you want to elaborate on that a little bit? Because I know that was part of your thing,
yes,
too.
Yes, please.
Really?
So what we're looking for is, the last question sort of talks about sort of the more looking outward, like at the site, kind of a result kind of question, more outward looking. This is more of, what should the process be? How would you, like, transparent, fair, like, you listen to? It's sort of, it's more of a, what would make a good process so that when we're all done, we feel good about what we did.
But I think you're doing that. What you've laid out today as to how you, what the oversight committee and the community's different community interests that you're going to be talking to and.
So, yeah, so maybe inclusive would be the word you would use.
Or keep doing what you're doing.
Well, that's what I was going
to
write.
Just a word or two. We're just trying to make sure that we are following the right way to make sure that everybody gets heard.
That it's a good plan.
That's good to hear, though.
Yeah, it's not only what you get at the end, but it's important that how you did it is done correctly.
Okay, and we're just writing down one or two suggestions.
It's still one of your words, but that's what I was trying to.
Sorry, I didn't steal it. I was reading your mind.
Read my psychological.
Last time we asked you for comments and input, so we'll be coming back.
Yeah, a question probably to say that, you know, when we come to you, you have a monthly meeting. I think we always have for the good of the order kind of thing. We're going to keep you up to date with what's going on.
Yeah, this is.
Oops. Oh, Mark, thank you. Hey, is ready to move on? Looks like we are.
No.
No? Okay, sorry.
Did you want to read anything?
Going too fast. Yeah, I do. Yeah,
sure. So community input or the inclusion of all of the community has come up quite a few times, and the concept of transparency in our engagement and planning process. Maximizing opportunities that are low cost or that are really efficient with tax dollars is on here a couple of times, and some people have called out specifically business owners and developers.
Okay, and they will be at the table, so just so you know. But yeah, good. Okay, thank you. Now, last question. Woo-hoo. It's orange paper. So I'm going to set this question up a little bit because it is thinking about the future. And I know it's really hard when you live and you work in a place and you go to the grocery store and you kind of think about things as they are now. It's really hard to think about what could they be like in 20 years. But, you know, just within the last 20 years, this whole area has changed a tremendous amount. So it could change a lot. But here's the way I like to set this question up is, I'm really sorry, but you guys are going to have to move away from Mill Creek. Maybe your family needs you to come and help take care of something with them for a while. Maybe you get a job opportunity. You have to move to a different city for a while. But you're going to be gone from Mill Creek for about 10, 15 years. Right before you leave, this plan is adopted and it's ready to go. And it's been a successful process. And while you're gone, things start to happen. The plan starts to be implemented. Things start to change or things are enhanced in this area here over the next 15 years or so that while you're on, and 10 to 15 years. And when you come back, because you are going to come back after your assignment is over, you come back, you are going to visit this area, whether you're visiting it with your family or your friends or on your own, and you see things have changed. And you see, oh, wow, that plan that I was involved with, it's been implemented, and it's a success, and things have happened. So what we want you to tell us is, what do you see in that 10, 15 years when you come back? Things have changed. It's, you know, there's different things here that you really like and your family likes and your friends like. What are those things?
You haven't got an orange ticket big enough.
Well, get to writing. Get to writing. No,
oh. Let me just make a quick observation.
Yeah.
Again, it's very narrow.
Yeah.
But I think I hope it'll make the point. I have in my car one of those big, bulky, hold it up to your ear telephones.
You do?
And on my back window, they have a curly Q antenna. Remember those?
Yeah.
The world is changing faster in terms of technology than we could have imagined. I got a Get Well card at the Hallmark store and opened it up and it plays music. There's more computing power in that card than there was in the world 20 years ago.
Yeah. So how can we predict? Is that what you're saying? Or?
Well, I'm saying it's really hard to predict.
Yeah.
The answer, when I was in school, it was a guy came to visit. His name was Constantine Doxiadis. He said he was a futurist.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I always look at things 200 years in advance.
Oh.
I said, how do you do that? He says, it's easy. Nobody's going to come back to tell me I was wrong.
So
I guess what I'm getting at is that it's an interesting question, but I think it's a mind blower because we none of us know what's going to happen and how it's going to roll over.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have predicted South Lake Union 15 years ago? And I have a friend who lives now in South Queen Anne. I visit her frequently, and for years, you know, you had to go in the back way to get there because you couldn't go across Mercer. And now it's this
boulevard.
Amazing boulevard with all kinds of things happening. And
let me just rephrase it. Not let's try to predict what will happen, but what would you like to see? This is your community. What do you think the most important thing is that needs to be done in this area in the next 5 years, 10 years? You know.
Somebody has to buy the lot across the street from me and donate it to the city as a park.
Well, okay. you want a park space created, though, no matter how that happens. But yeah.
So this back to this friend.
Yes.
She doesn't go to South Lake Union, even though she just lives on Thomas Street, not far away. She goes up to the top of Queen Anne because it's a little community. There's all these services. There's usually plenty of parking. And there's a lot more walking opportunities.
She can walk from places.
Yes, and so that's why I think that we need more of these smaller pockets of business and retail and services.
I like the village concept that you mentioned earlier.
Yes, yeah. And that's kind of my whole idea of how we should proceed. Villages around the core.
Who could have predicted what town center in Mill Creek would have looked like 20 years ago?
Right, right.
We did.
Matter of fact, the planner, I don't know if you guys know, you know John Owen, who worked on that with Makers, and extremely visionary man. He's sketching all the time. But, you know, it's because of people like that that have that ability to understand, you know, what people are looking for and design things that... you know, places like that get created. So
I come back to the comment you made about design something that will attract people. Mm-hmm. I like that thought a lot.
Yeah.
Design something that's going to attract people and not necessarily have them in their cars all the time.
And you know, one thing I put on that, too, is, and I don't know if I explained it well, but I put more relevant businesses. And what I mean by relevant businesses is right now, every single corner, every single shopping center, everything has nail salons and teriyaki places. I mean, we got enough of those for a city four times our size. You know, when they're putting in, you know, when developers are attracting businesses, it should be other things that we can actually use. You know,
do you not get your nails done?
No.
Well, a couple of teriyaki places are great. I go to those, but I don't. There's no way I'm ever going to visit all the ones.
It's Dave, right?
Yeah.
So what would be some relevant businesses that you think? Like, do we have the right kind of restaurants, or do we need, you know, something?
You know, I am. Like one thing that I use a lot, I know a lot of people might not, but it took forever, but we finally had like just this local cobbler move in.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
And I go all the time. Instead of buying new shoes, you know, things that people can actually use, you know, that you don't think of right off the bat.
It's in this area right here. It's
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's, and he actually even... I had sandals the other day, and the sole fell off one, and I took them in, and he just put it back on. You know, it's why go spend money on new stuff.
That's really great.
You know,
or your purse loses a rivet, or
But I think flexible, sustainable spaces, right? So spaces that can really change and become relevant over time, because it's going to change. I mean, he talked to him, and he doesn't know who's going to take it over after him, because he's nobody's coming up through school being a cobbler.
Right.
It's a whole other issue. Yeah. But I think just making that space really flexible so that, like, again, that market hall concept where you can have people moving in, and it's not always going to be the teriyaki nail places, because they're not going to want that type of space, right? So we want to build something that we want not only the right businesses, but the right people to be attracted to.
And I'm not the only one that kind of makes jokes about that. Every time something new comes in, everybody says there's going to be another teriyaki place and there's going to be another nail salon, you know, because they are everywhere, you know. We don't need that many.
Well, you want to read sort of just a couple of what you guys came up with?
Yeah.
So the area is vibrant with lots of people wanting to go there. Easy access to the civic core. Thriving civic core. The area feels human in scale, not downtown Seattle. Seattle people can feel open space in the area. Civic events, pedestrian activity. Gateway to the city. So there's a lot of... I think we captured a lot of that. There's a lot of similar comments, so that's all really useful for us to hear.
Yep.
And as we go to each different group, I think what we'll do is we'll sort of put these down there and we'll look for trends.
And I, you haven't read that, it kind of made me think of something else too. I would hate in 20 years for Mill Creek to, even though it's a thriving young city, I would still hate for it to lose the small town atmosphere that my kids grow up in. I'd hate for it to develop to the point that it no longer feels like this nice little hometown. And I moved up here from California, and my kids were just, my oldest was just going in the first grade when we moved here. And it was a great little small town for both my boys to grow up in, and I would hate to lose that.
Okay.
You know?
I'm making a note about
and
that.
And Milky Boulevard, you've got an opportunity for so much to connect pedestrians to make it feel that way. The pond idea, I love that partial build around making that a central focal point. Ninth Ave behind QFC opens up to this amazing park. Most people who live here don't know it exists. You know, it's just, it's amazing. And
back in here?
Yeah. That whole area all the way up to Town Center could be the most walkable part of the city if you did it right. It really could. Yeah. And it'd be great to have festivals there, a civic campus. It really could be a great part of the city.
Small town atmospheres. I worked for a city manager, and they decided to adopt a motto for themselves that was, a small town is like a large family.
Oh, that's cool.
You add on to that, because you get together at Thanksgiving and beat the crap out of each other.
Well, thanks a lot for that kind of concludes the prepared questions that we had.
Tell us what's next up on our process, Tom? And
Well, the next thing up is the one thing we've got how many more of these, like six or seven different focus groups that we're going to have. And as we said in that table, once we get all this input back, the PACCO and me go over all the comments that we have and go over some technical information and sort of figure out what's realistic too. I think that's something that has to happen.
Right.
You can't just drop things without kind of realism. So stormwater is a big issue here. Traffic, the vision and the will of the community is a huge thing. And so those all have to sort of be sort of weighed, looked at, and come up with some sort of scenarios for us to evaluate going forward.
So do we need to adjourn since we...
Yes, you do. This is an official meeting.
So you do that, huh?
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion that we adjourn.
Second. Move the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're out of here.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Nice to meet you all.
Okay. Oh, also, there's a public open house on Tuesday.
For 20 years in Northern Orange County.
Oh, yeah.
No,
we haven't.
Oh, October 6th.
Is that the planning stuff?
No, it's the public.
I don't. I actually don't have a
seal. But I have a business here. It's an
hour and 30.
You know, it's funny. I just spent 2 weeks down here. Yeah, all of my friends that all used to live up in like Long Beach.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah, I come up with time. They all live down there somewhere.
Are you going to ever open the and you know that on the back of the chickens. One other thing that I'd like to say is that I have a second thing against you.
Not really, but they have the mailing out rolls.
I'm wanting to make some changes to our
menu.
I think we have a great
father-in-law,
and we have a great young kid. Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for being here.
We'll see you in the bar of your place.
All right.
Yeah, tomorrow, you know,
and we're going to call it a... We don't know what we're going to call it.
Thank you very much.
It'll be sort of some sandwiches, some burgers, things like that.
All right.
And we have a whole small like
dread.
But
we're trying to mention
generally you're in the dread. So I want something for people to have that don't want to sit in and that they want to have they want to have a great dinner. They want to have a good panini. They want to have just some meatballs and some dipping sauces. Just things like that. So we've got these great sliders. We have chicken or salmon or beef or sliders. We have one, two, or three. So, you know, things like this. So just an in-between menu. I'm getting a little feedback. Pushback. But I think it's the right thing to do.
Anyway.
Well, thanks, Mark. Nice to meet you. It's kind of like me and Bill. Likewise. Good luck on your running for the school board.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, my God.
I will. Yeah. It's not really like voting, but still.
We all talk about that. Oh, well, I guess since Everett got a raise, we're in Mukilteo, we're going to have a raise.
I know.
Thank you.